Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Parents of two 11-year-old twins with autism who had been denied appropriate schooling and met with the Minister for Special Education, Josepha Madigan, today. There's been a positive development in that story following the meeting. We did speak to Gillian Milne on the programme on Wednesday, and I'm very glad to say she joins us now again. And Gillian, you're welcome back to the programme this evening. I know you were supposed to be meeting Minister Josepha Madigan next Thursday, actually, but that meeting was brought forward to today. Why did that happen, do you know?
Hi, yeah, it was brought forward to today. You know, unfortunately for us, to get someone to watch Ryan and Kyle is not an easy job. So it was supposed to be next Thursday afternoon, and then unfortunately the minister's advisor had double booked her. So he actually got in contact and apologised and said, you know, what other day could we do? So we had someone to look after the boys this morning, so we just said that was our day free, and he said to come on in.
So what happened? Can you talk us through it?
Yeah, so myself and Darren went up, and we were greeted by Minister Madigan herself, actually. She was actually waiting on us when we got there. We went up, and we had a brief conversation about the boys, and we chatted a bit about how we'd gotten to this place, really, to be honest. I have to say, she was very apologetic, listened to everything we had to say. I brought with me the boys' psychology reports, you know, just to let her have a look at and see, you know, the extent of, you know, what needs to happen even for Ryan and Kyle to get to a new school. So during the chat, she told us, look, I have some news for you. I can't tell you what school it is yet, but I can guarantee you that I have a school place for the boys for September in a special school in our area.
Wow, so that is big news for you.
It is, yeah. It's like, to be honest with you, it's like, you feel like, I feel like I should be, you know, skipping down the road and happy and thrilled, and I feel like I've nearly got into shock, to be honest with you. I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth to say, like, are you serious? Is this for real? Because, like, not only have the boys not known anything else for 11 years, but neither have myself and Darren, you know. It's just been us and them. So it was overwhelming, to be honest with you, to actually hear the words. And, like, I had to make her say it again, and I was like, Lucas, are you sure? And she said, Lucas, we're in advanced talks with one school, and the only reason I don't want to tell you the name of the school yet is just I want to have it concrete for you guys. So she said that herself and her advisor are going to be in contact with us every week, and hopefully in the next few weeks she will be able to tell us what school that is. And she said to me, Lucas, I fully stand over everything that I'm saying, and I am promising you, guaranteeing you, that that school place will be there for the boys in September. And she did apologise to us as well, to, you know, to say that they hadn't gotten a school place by now, and the situation that we'd been in. So we're absolutely over the moon for the lads. We just can't believe it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can hear the shock in your voice, and I can imagine. Well, sorry, I can't imagine, but I can understand to an extent. Being when you're in a prolonged situation of distress like that for so long, it's hard to believe then that it might be coming to an end.
It is,
or that there's some light there.
You kind of get very much of, you know, you kind of seem to think, oh yeah, well, yeah, okay, they're going to say that, but then, you know, you're going to get a phone call in 3 weeks going, oh well, that's not actually going to happen. You know, so it is hard. It's hard to enjoy, if you know what I'm saying. It's hard to get excited and go, oh my God, my boys are going to school. You know, and for us, like, it'll be baby steps, you know. Like, it'll be like, you know, drive them to the school gate the first week and drive them home. And it's going to be massive. Like, for us to go to that meeting this morning, would you believe we had to sneak out our side gate and across the road to go so the boys couldn't see us, because they're that attached to us.
So it's going to take quite a while then to get them used to the idea of even going into school.
Oh, it's going to be massive for them. So, like, the report, you know, it's very detailed in their transition to school, as in Fiona, the boys' home tutor, who's been with them on and off since the age of 3 and a half, like, she has to go with them, you know, and the report says that, like, you know, only when she really feels like that the lads have settled into school completely, feel very, you know, at home with the staff and the staff are used to them, then it will be, you know, a chance for her to pull back. But like even for the first 2 to 3 terms, they're hoping that maybe they just make 2 hours a week in school.
Okay, so,
it will be baby steps.
Yeah. And you're certain, or you're certain as you can be, I suppose,
yeah,
that the school will be close to where you live. It's going to be in your catchment area.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, okay. Well, so that,
as far as we know, yeah, like, to be honest with you, like, it wouldn't, because it has to be ourselves that bring the boys, you know, it wouldn't make sense for us. Like I said to her, you know, I hope, you know, it's in our area. And she said yes. Like, it wouldn't be fair on the lads either to have to travel, you know, a long way to even for their report, even to say, you know, just to get to the school gates and then drive home again. It'd be way too stressful.
I know that Conor McMorrow, the primetime reporter who brought us your story first on Tuesday night, where he was following up, I think, on Ethan O'Brien's report from 3 years ago. But the report on Tuesday night that he did, he tweeted a little earlier today this update that you had got, and some of the responses to that, everyone delighted for you and your family,
yeah,
and the boys, but also people saying, why does it have to come to this, that...
Yeah.
Parents like yourselves have to expose your whole lives, really.
That's the sad part.
To the country, to get action.
And it is, like, and as I said the other night, and I still stand by that, as I said, it happened to Ryan and Kyle. We don't want to ever see that happen to another family again, you know? So, like, as difficult as it was for us, like, we had to make our private life public, which is not an easy thing. And we had to make 2 very vulnerable children seen by the whole nation just to get them a school place. That's not something that, you know, that will ever leave us, I don't think. But if it makes that pathway easier for any other child, well, then I'm happy, you know, for that other family not to have to go through what we did.
And what has this week been like for you and your family?
You know, it doesn't feel real, if I'm honest. Because, you know, like, you know, TV cameras or looking at yourself on TV and, you know, seeing it in the papers and stuff, like, obviously it's not a life that we're used to. And you feel vulnerable all of a sudden, you know, and I have to be honest with you, like, people have been phenomenal, you know, the response has all been positive and people have sent us nothing but kind and good wishes for the boys. But it's also made me realise how many other children out there as well that are not getting services and places that they need, you know. So it's sad.
Just finally then, Gillian, and I'm not asking you to fix the system because that is not your job, but from your experience, your own experience over the last 11 years, is there any one obvious thing or one or two obvious things that you think need to be looked at immediately to try and stop other families? And we know there are at least 160 other children right now who don't have a school place come September, who are looking for special education, who have special educational needs come September, they don't have a school place at the moment, to try and address that situation.
Yeah. Well, if I could say one thing, and I know this is not the sad part, is the country needs more special schools. I know there's that whole thing about putting all the children in together and, you know, putting units in schools, which is great for these children that can manage in these settings. Mm. But for the more severe children, and there are a lot more of them out there than you think, there needs to be more room in the schools, you know, add on to them, make, you know, put out more special schools because, you know, not only autism, but, like, you know, autism has just, like, it's in every family, you know. It's very seldom you don't meet someone now that hasn't got a niece or a nephew or a cousin, you know, that way. So, like, for the future for these kids, you know, more special schools and teach the people, you know. Like, there's people with primary school degrees, but they don't know anything about autism.
Okay, so plenty of work to do, really, on it by the sounds of it. Well, Gillian, thank you so much for joining us again. I'll just read you one of the texts. We're getting lots of texts in on this, but this person says, Gillian and Darren are brilliant. They fought so hard to get what the boys are entitled to. They should feel very proud of their battle. Shame on government and services that let this family down. Gillian, I'm so glad to hear the good news, and we'll keep in touch and see how you get on over the next couple of months. But thank you very much for joining us.